And obviously he's going to save a remnant of people out of that nation, as obviously Gentiles as well. And I was quite moved with Jonathan in the sense that, you know, he's had to battle health with, as he said, a limp, which God can heal and can give him complete healing. And I think it's a sort of picture in that when people are feeling maybe they're not, you know, going to cross the line or they can't do it or whatever, that that God actually is reaching out to all people, really, whatever your situation. He wants all people to be saved. And also the words in some of the verses were Lord, which is obviously Yahweh, because it was in the capital letters. So, anyway.
That's very good, yeah. I think the limp's interesting because God gave Jacob that limp. And I wonder if it's a little bit like Jesus getting the scars. When Jesus was raised to life, he still had the scars on his hand, didn't he? Like, he wasn't raised like a perfect body. He still had the scars because they were the sign of what he'd been through. And so they lived with him as like badges of honour. And in a way, maybe Jacob's limp is like that. It's like the scars of Jesus that they carry them forward as a badge of honour, isn't it? Yeah, but no, I don't count that as Jonathan's limp like that. You can still be healed of your limp, Jonathan.
When Jesus comes back, you'll have the scars. So
yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. Anybody got something else that they'd like to share? Lisa?
Is this the time? Yeah, okay. This hasn't occurred to me now. This happened to me during the 12 hours of prayer that we had. And we had a table that had the coins on it, and it was a story of the proud Pharisee who had lots of money and the poor widow who only had the mite. But what God said to me was, you know, it was the mite that was important because it was the heart of the woman that was given to him, and it was small but not inconsequential. And my problem has been, in since I've been in Long Ashton, I've moved to a very, very, very small house. And I've always been used to being living in a large house where we've hosted house groups and, you know, hosted loads and loads and loads of stuff in our Christian lives, my husband and myself. And I found it really hard to think that I won't be able to do that again because I live in such a small house with two dogs, one is extremely big. But what God spoke to me, in as much as he just wants me to offer it, and he will use it to whatever need he wants to use it for, and I'm happy for that. And I spoke to Angela about it several weeks ago, and I said the house is yours to use for groups or whatever, for God's use, whatever God needs it for. It's ready for use. So, but God can use the small things, including a small person like myself, you know. And what came to me today was the verses from Corinthians, that he chose the foolish of the world and the things that are not, and I'm one of the ones that are not. But God is good.
God is good, you're right. And I think that is so like similar to what we've been thinking about today, that it's not about the size of the thing we offer, but it's about the giving of it. And for that boy, he gave it, and yes, people were fed in the moment for 5,000 people, but because he gave it, we have that story now, all these years later. And he, although we don't know his name, he is recorded in the Bible, isn't he? Because he did that thing. So God has really honoured him for his faithfulness and for his giving of his small gift. And the same with the widow. She's honoured in there as well. You got something you'd like to? You can share something, even if everyone else is.
Couple things. We've talked quite a lot about things from this morning from the story of Jacob. Another thing that struck me is Jonathan was talking about his name and how previously Jacob had lied about his name, and God redeemed that and then gave him a new name. And it reminded me of Peter and of how Jesus restored him after he'd denied him. And obviously he'd already given him this new name, Peter, on whom he yeah, he went on to build his church. And just how gently God restores. In both of those cases, he didn't step in and rebuke. He stepped in just to redeem what the person had done in denying kind of God's call on them. So that, yeah, I thought that was just really striking. The second thing, which wasn't from today, but just feels like it fits, was the verses I came across a couple of weeks ago from Psalm 20 that just sort of stuck in my gut a bit. The end of Psalm 20, the psalmist says, "Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." And yeah, all those things that we can grasp hold of that aren't actually trustworthy. But yeah, what I need to do and what we need as a church to do is all that other stuff that looks great, all of that other stuff that looks trustworthy. But we trust not in any of those things, but in the name of the Lord our God.
Thank you. That is very well said. Anybody else got something that they would like to share? It's a bit like an auction. No one dares move in case they think it looks like they're making a bid, isn't it?
So, well, I just had a few minutes in one of the prayer stations, and there were lots of pebbles, and they were smooth pebbles mainly, but I just happened to pick up one that was quite irregular, and as I was looking at it, one side was like sort of coated, a bit like if you've got a flint or something. It was sort of very rough and covered in a sort of white material. And then on the other side, it was smooth and shiny. And I was sort of thinking about the struggle bit this morning and how God refines us. And then as I was looking at the shiny bit, it was like reflecting the light. And it was like the dull side was matte and there was nothing there. And then like the refined side is where God sort of light is shining in and out through you. So it's such a simple thing, but so do try the prayer station. So I've only done one, but it was very valuable for a few minutes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and thanks for the encouragement to do them, because it is good to just spend that minute, isn't it? I was really struck by what Jonathan said about, Jacob sending all his wealth on ahead, didn't he, so that he could spend time with God, and how difficult it is for us to sometimes actually do that, actually take the time to encounter God, and the fact that we could, if we just sit down, then God's probably already sitting there waiting for us to meet us, isn't he? Anybody else got a thought or a moment or something that they'd like to share? You got something, Richard? Only because Mark was looking at you like you might have shared something to share. Ooh, that was a prophetic moment, wasn't it?
Right, well, you probably all know I had a bit of a funny turn about 3 weeks ago today. I had a cardiac arrest, in fact, and woke up on the floor with lots of people looking down on me. And then it was told in the ambulance I'd been given the heart massage and the kiss of life, which completely shocked me, because I was there playing the flute in a Irish music group. Felt a bit faint at one point, and the next thing I knew, I was on the floor looking up, and a couple of the people looking at me were paramedics. So I thought, whoa, what's going on here then? And they told me in the ambulance what I'd been through. But a couple of people, well, in the group, in fact, the two that helped me were two retired GPs, and they were assisted by two retired crash team nurses. So quite a medical group, really. But I was thinking a lot about it afterwards, as one does, and I just thought, well, God obviously wants me to stay in this world for the time being. Sorry, everybody, but I'm still here. And it made me think back a lot, too, to the time when I lost Anne, my late wife. That was about nearly 9 years ago now. And somebody lent me a book, they recommended it, by C.S. Lewis, called A Grief Observed. And it's all about how, Well, he said he felt completely abandoned by God, C.S. Lewis, when he lost his wife, who was Joy Davidman. And as he put it in the book, he felt as if the doors of heaven were being shut against him, and he could hear the locks and bars being put in place on the other side. And I read that and thought, well, actually, my experience when I lost Anne was completely different. God didn't abandon me at all. In fact, he was speaking to me all the way through it. And I knew that God had taken Anne, and that this was his purpose and his will, and it was her time. And God was very clear speaking to me about that through various, you know, how God speaks to you through choruses that you sing, or songs, or people, and just the way it all went. All of Hebron was very supportive at that time, you know, and I didn't have to do anything for the funeral or anything. Audrey did the flowers, others did the catering, and it all just went smooth as clockwork, which was just as well, because I was in no fit state to do anything about it. But that's history now. Just listening to Jonathan and the sort of ready, steady, go thing, and, you know, what can I do with my life now, now that it's obvious God still wants me in this world? And I just thinking, well, this is the state of my lovely house for a start. It looks like a bomb's hit it. The typical bachelor crash pad, you know. I just feeling challenged that really I should get it together so that at least I can offer hospitality to people and stuff like that. And just really challenged to think, what does God want me to do with the rest of my life now I'm here? Because according to the hospital, I'm actually in excellent health. Which is really strange. They couldn't find a single thing wrong with me after this cardiac arrest, and sent me home, basically. So whether I'll ever find out what happened, I've spoken to a number of, you know, people, share their experiences with me. Some have been through it themselves, or know people who just dropped down apparently dead and then just come back to life again for no apparent reason. So it's not that uncommon. But anyway, here I am, and I'm just asking the Lord, how can I make the most of the time I've got now? I just feel quite challenged about that, really. But I've been living like a slob long enough, you know. And it's time I did a bit better. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you, Jonathan, for the challenge and that. And, yeah, okay.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I think really that's something that we all need to be hearing, isn't it? What's the challenge of what do we do with the rest of our lives? And I know people who've been near to death, I expect Jonathan could probably say similar, that it makes you think, you know, you want to make the most of what you've got, and what does God want you to do? Or what can you do most to glorify God? And I think something else you said about changes and what you might do to move into that place. You know, we were thinking this morning, weren't we, about letting go of things, letting go of the past, letting go of that illustration that Jonathan had of the monkey. He couldn't get his hand out of the pot because he couldn't let go of the thing in order to get his freedom. And we want to let go of what we need to in order to be able to hold on to God, don't we? To be able to hold on to God, not be like Jacob holding on to Esau's heel or holding on to his wealth. It wasn't until he found God that he could say, I've now got everything. I thought that was really profound thing to be able to say. And so I thought, well, in a minute, when we go back into the first of our songs for the next phase, I thought maybe we could each think of something that we need to, or we want to let go of. We might have had things when Jonathan gave us the chance to think about what it is that stops us being able to fully hold on to God. We live in such a cluttered world, don't we? Our houses, I mean, some empathy there with Richard, with just stuff in your house. It's not like my house is like I'm a hoarder or anything, but you just accumulate so much, don't you? Emotional clutter, things that have happened to us in the past, relationships, like we're in touch with so many people. Oh dear, it's making me feel a bit overwhelmed even just thinking about it. But I thought, and I've put a little thing here which we can all get to quite easily, and I wondered whether as a way of responding, I found some leaves that were in my garden, and I thought they were rather a good illustration of what we're trying to do, because some of the things we're trying to let go of are things which have been good in the past. This leaf did its job in the past, didn't it? It was on the tree, and it was photosynthesizing, and it was decorating the tree and feeding the tree, but its time has now come to an end, and it's time for it to fall off the tree and have its next job, which is to become compost or whatever. And so there might be things that we want to let go of in our lives. And we're not saying that they haven't been good. We're not saying that they weren't valuable, they weren't right to do at the time. But we want to let go of them, like the tree lets go of its leaves, and just move on to the next thing. So if you had something in your mind and you really would like to make an active step towards moving on to that thing so that you can hold on to God instead, then I encourage you just to go and take a leaf. They're all from the same tree, but they all look a bit different because some of them are more dead than others. This one isn't long past its life. It's got a bit of green left in it, but it is heading towards being redundant as a leaf on a tree, isn't it? And it needs to move so that there's room for the next season to take place. So just take a leaf and think of the thing that you are wanting to shed from your life. And then I'd encourage you just to put it on this plate here. And I've located a cross, because what we're doing is bringing it to the cross. We're saying, God, this thing has been good. And maybe we've enjoyed it. It's had its day. It's fed us. It's been productive. But we need to let go of it now so that there's more space in our lives. And I think we can include in this things perhaps that haven't been so good or haven't ended so well. I was thinking about what Jane was saying about things that maybe have been said to us in the past, maybe have limited what we can do. And we need to really let go of those things and live in the truth of what God says about us. So if you're someone who's being told, like Will would identify with, oh, you're no good at art, you know, everybody is creative. We're made in the image of God. In some way, all of us can make something beautiful. We can step out from under those words that have been spoken over us. So if somebody or a thought or a way you think about yourself is limiting you, now's the time to say, I want to explore beyond that limit and see where I could be, what I could do with God. And I think with Lisa, seeing beyond what she sees as the limits of her house, she can still flourish into the heart of hospitality, which you have, can't you? And it sounds like Richard's going the same way. I think we're going to have quite a theme of hospitality coming. We're going to have two hospitality deacons next year, we hope. And then, you know, this is what we want to be doing. We've had a theme of welcoming, haven't we? We want to be welcoming, and we want to be drawing people into the family, which means drawing people into our homes, into the church, which is the house of God, and into the homes of the children of God, us. So let's celebrate that. And anything which might hold us back from that, I'm not hospitable, I don't know how to cook, my house isn't big enough, and there's only one person, all those things, God doesn't see them as limits. Let's let go of them. Let's pick up a leaf and think, I have had that thought. Maybe it's been good, maybe it hasn't, but it's time for it to go and bring it to the cross. And I think as when we bring something to the cross, the cross is a place of exchange, isn't it? And we want to be looking at the next season, the new season, and making room for something else. And so it might be that you just want to do an action of letting go. But if you'd like that to be a place of exchange where you think, I'm going to step into the resources that God has for me in this next season, then next to the cross here, I've got two little baskets which have got some little bulbs in. We've had a bit of a bulb theme because I know they've been doing bulbs in the young people's, haven't they? So we've come well supplied with bulbs, haven't we, Rachel? And these are little crocus bulbs, which are a lot easier to grow than anemones. So if you failed on the anemone, let go of that thought and take a crocus bulb instead. And I haven't brought pots and compost as Rachel did, but if you just take it home and stick it in the ground, it will grow in the spring. And this tiny thing is a little bit like the loaves and fishes that the boy brought, isn't it? He little thing, but God, in his creative, miraculous way, can make this thing before our eyes, we know that, grow into something. And I love the sort of prophetic nature of this, because I can show you this, and you know that it's going to grow into a flower. Now, you only know that because you've seen it before, but it's amazing, isn't it, that this thing is going to grow into a flower. And that is the same as when we have, like when Jesus saw that packed lunch, he knew that that was going to be enough to feed everybody. And it's a sign that even in a small thing, there's the resources we need for the job ahead. And if we have them in the right place and we allow God to do his work in his time, it will grow into the thing that it was meant to be. So we can let go of the things that we have had in our lives in the past, whether they were good or bad, their time has passed. And we can take instead a sign that the resources we need are given to us by God. And as we work with God, they will grow into what they were intended to be, which is going to bless us and bring fruitfulness in our lives. Is that good? Well, let's just take a moment to think in what you it is that maybe you could let go of. There's everybody's got something. I mean, everybody has. I certainly have a very large number of things that I could let go of. And so I want to let go of it. And I want to be able to hold on to God. I think actually what I'd like to do is read this psalm, which Lisa read in the lectio this morning, but it was lovely. And it is my favourite psalm. Psalm 63. And it fits in very well with the theme that we've had today. So let's read this, and as we think about our desire for God. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. That last verse, I cling to you. We need our hands empty so that we can cling, hold on to God. And in return, his right hand is a sign of his strength. His strength supports and upholds us in our lives. Father God, we each want to let go of the things that hold us back. Maybe just now I ask you, God, to put a spotlight on the thing which we can engage with this evening. Maybe it's been good, but it's had its season. And we want to let it fall down now. And bring it to you with thanks. And free our hands so that we can take hold of what you have for us. We can take hold of you. I cling to you. And we thank you, God, in that place that you have resources for us for the next phase of our lives. You have the things which we need, which we can bring to you and which you can multiply to achieve what you have in mind. Whether it's feeding 5,000, whether maybe it is, maybe that is it with this hospitality and welcome which we want to make in our church. Thank you, God, that you are here with us and you are speaking to each one of us. And I pray that the seeds of the words that we've heard today will sink deeply into our hearts and will take root and will go home with us, so that when we leave this place, we don't leave those thoughts behind. We carry them with us so that we are changed in some way, transformed into the glory that you have for us. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song now, just as a chance to respond if you would like to. In fact, you can do it. We're going to have three or four songs. You can stay sitting down if you like, because they're slightly quieter, more reflective songs. Maybe you'd just like to spend a bit of time engaging with God. But at any time, if you'd like to just get up and come and take a leaf and leave it by the cross, or take a bulb as a sign of the resources that God has for us, then please do at any stage.
to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do.
God leading you into green pastures and you're feeling that tremendous blessing? Or are you in that place where the Lord Jesus himself is anointing you oil and telling you that you are precious? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the promise, isn't it? That we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's stand and sing that song together.
Worthy of every
breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Lord Jesus, it is frightening to think that you may be doing something new in our church, that you might be doing something new in our village, that you might have new things for us. But we're not looking closely enough at you, that our eyes aren't fixed on you, Lord Jesus, and we might get left behind. Lord, we long for your blessing for us, for our families, for our friends, for our neighbours. Lord, we long to see your revival in our nation and in our church and in our community. Lord, we pray that you would set us on fire for the things that you want to do. We ask, Lord, that where we are scared, you give us courage. That where we are cold, you would really light a new fire in us. And Lord, that where we need to hear your whisper, Lord, we would hear that. The presence of your Holy Spirit saying, it's now, and I have things for you to do. So Lord, as we come to the end of this time together, we just want to say, bless you, Lord Jesus. We love you so much. We have so much to be thankful for in each of our lives. And we pray, Lord, that as we sleep tonight, as we meet tomorrow to praise you again, Lord, that you will be showing us the way. Thank you, precious, beautiful Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for praying for us, Rachel. If anybody would like to pray with somebody, I'm sure those of us who you've prayed with before would be very happy to do so, and I'm sure everybody here would be happy to just sit and listen to a confession. Sometimes speaking things out could be really helpful, even if it's just, this is what I've chosen to do today. If you'd like to come and pray with me, I'd be delighted, but no compulsion. Anybody who is here, I'm sure, would love to pray with you. Just to bring us back to where we are in our weekend, it's 9 o'clock, which is the night is young, and I think Rachel has come prepared with lots of games for us. If anybody would like to engage with a game, we haven't yet tracked down that chess set. But if anybody has a chess set, actually, I think probably someone ran out and quickly hid it, didn't they? One of your, either your wife or daughter. Then that's fine. And we've got the coffee and tea. And I think there might be a hot chocolate facility somewhere, isn't there? If we make it ourselves, we can have the lights on, sit around and chat, take it easy. In the morning, we have prayer at 9 o'clock. Breakfast, obviously, at 8, same arrangement as yesterday. And then prayer led by Lisa and Margot in the chapel at 9. And we'll meet here again at 9:30 for our last teaching session with Jonathan till 11. Then we'll have coffee, as we did this morning. And then at 11:30, we'll meet for all-age service time, all together with the children and the young ones. And we'll praise God, and we'll share communion then as well. It'd be a service time like we would have at church. And we'll actually be later than they are at church. But it will be like in communion with them in a way, won't we? And it would be great as well if we have a chance before then, if you have a chance to look at those puzzle pieces which Jane gave out and to fill those in, then maybe we could gather them together and see the picture of Hebron Church, the story of the church emerging during that service. So that's a bit of a challenge, find a moment to think about that and write something on the piece, and we can start to build up a picture. Because I think for us to develop like who we are and be able to talk easily about our church and see how it all fits in is just a great thing to be able to do as we're, you know, engaging more with the community. So I'll stop talking, and we can all disperse and do what we like to do. Does that sound, has anybody got any questions? Have I missed anything out? No. Sounds great. Oh, that's great. Bit of encouragement. Thank you very much. And thank you to the people who came up and sung, and to Jonathan for doing the worship words, and Peter, who we can always rely on to pull off the technology. And let's go and enjoy ourselves however we like to relax. Thank you.
Thank you.
help them.